And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning and welcome to the House of Wellness. It is so lovely to be here with you this Sunday morning. We're here to help you get well, stay well, live well and look fabulous. I'm Jo Stanley and I'm joined as always by medical herbalist and pharmacist Gerald Quigley. Good morning, GQ.
Good morning, Jo. Terrific to see you.
And it's awesome to see you. Also, Sally Obermeida.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Oh, look, we're fresh as a daisy and bright as buttons.
On top of the world, right into daylight saving. We're up and about.
We really are. Now, Sal, I know that you are really passionate about beautiful, nourishing food. So what is your absolute favourite thing to eat?
Oh, that's like asking which chard is my favourite.
We all have one of those too.
But. Well, it's whichever one sleeps. We all know that. I love a Mediterranean diet. For me, like a big Italian, and I don't want to say a food, but a meal. Like, and I mean like a big steak. I mean a bit of pasta, a big caprese salad with tomato and bocconcini and like fresh basil. Like that to me is just, I mean, that gets me every time.
You're selling, selling politics, is she? You ask for a food and we've given seven options out of which we choose what we think. Is that the idea?
No, but I'm on that team, though. I love exactly what you described. I'm thinking, oh, if someone could cook me that today, I'd be very happy. What about you, Gerald?
Well, I was just thinking, now, Philippa, you'll be listening, I'm sure, right. But I would like, please, some asparagus spears rolled up into some lightly buttered bread and toasted, please.
Ooh,
if that could
wow.
be ready for me when I get back. I'm getting then the prebiotic from the asparagus, uh-huh. the benefits of all of that, and, you know, it's in my dreams.
Well,
I've never had that.
Haven't you?
No.
Oh, so.
I feel like that's a very old school finger food that I'm pretty happy with.
Thank you very much.
No, I'm celebrating that, Gerald. Absolutely.
What about yours, Jo?
Cheese. Always. Cheese, a good Tasmanian brie. Oh, I'm a happy.
Some crackers,
yes.
A little bit of like quince paste or something on the side.
Absolutely.
See, here Sal goes again with four options.
Well, I mean, it's lovely for us to celebrate food and to think about what joy it brings us. But imagine if food was of no interest to you, or if you found it difficult to stomach food, or if you'd lost the ability to digest the nutrients you need daily. It's really hard to imagine a life where food doesn't bring you such joy. But that can be the case for people living with cancer, with chewing or swallowing problems, people living with dementia, people living with depression as well. It can really impact your ability to enjoy and, in fact, digest food. And that can lead to malnutrition.
And it's enjoying food is such a fundamental thing, isn't it? We just take for granted. But up to 30% of Australians and New Zealanders, 30% of people living in the community could be suffering from malnutrition. Is that an interesting statistic, Sal? Are you surprised with that?
I am, and I'm not. Yeah. Having been through cancer, and I also saw my mum go through a stage when she was unwell, where I just could not get her to eat anything, and nothing was appetizing. All the things that we used to, I'd be like, we could go out and do this, and we could go and have this, and she was like, no. Mm. And it's very hard because we actually eat sort of first with our eyes and first with our mind. Like the idea of something is what gets kind of the stomach juices going and gets us salivating. It's the desire for it. But if you don't have that first kind of hit where you're like, oh, I really want to eat whatever it is, then it's hard to get to the next level.
Yeah, so I can understand what you're saying, Sal, and it's a very big problem here in Australia. It's considered a silent problem because not many people know about it or talk about it. But we're going to be talking with April Hart, an accredited practicing dietitian who specialises in nutrition, to learn all about this issue of malnutrition in our community. And she has her own personal story to tell around that as well. Last Sunday's chat about eye health and digital eye strain during COVID-19 has really blown our socks off. People are very interested in this. We had a huge response after the show. I know Geraldine had lots of emails as well. So particularly about dry dry eye. So we're going to continue that chat with an optometrist, Megan Zane, to find out all about dry eye because it seems to be affecting a lot of us. In our A to Z of items, we'll take a look at Go Healthy Laxative and Aloe Vera and Go Healthy Laxative and Probiotic. And as always, we'd love you to give us a call, 131 873, with any questions for your health, but also what is your relationship to food like? Do you need some advice as to how to look after your nutrition? 131 873 is our number. Next, what are the signs of malnutrition and could you or someone you love be at risk? That's on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Too much screen time, think dry eyes. Changing weather conditions, think dry eyes. Heating and cooling, think dry eyes. If you have dry eyes, think Systane. Systane Complete relieves all types of dry eyes up to 8 hours, including aqueous deficient, evaporative and mixed dry eye. And at $16.49 at Chemist Warehouse, always read the label, follow directions for use. If symptoms persist, talk to your health professional. References available on request. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
House of Wellness, right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. Call now 131 873 with questions for your health. Perhaps if you need help staying on top of your nutritious food intake, because if you think malnutrition is a third world problem, think again. Here in Australia, malnutrition has become an under-recognised and under-diagnosed major healthcare issue, with around 35 to 43% of patients in Australian hospitals affected. And a recent Australian study found the prevalence of malnutrition across 8 residential aged care facilities ranged from 32 to a whopping 72% in some facilities. It's very alarming. So to help us better understand malnutrition, we're joined by April Hart, an accredited practicing dietitian specialising in nutrition. Good morning, April.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, it's really lovely to speak with you. I must say, it is surprising to imagine that people in Australia are suffering from malnutrition. But what exactly is malnutrition?
Exactly. It is surprising. Malnutrition, it's a really serious health condition. It occurs when a person's diet doesn't provide enough or the right balance of nutrients for optimal health. It has an impact on the body's ability to function as it normally should, which in turn can have a detrimental effect on quality of life. It can lead to a really increased risk of infections and poor immunity. Muscles can be weakened and muscle function can decrease, which may lead to increased risk of falls, which is really unfortunate. It can also result in a longer and more frequent hospital admissions, reduce effectiveness of medical treatment, and can also delay your recovery from illness as well. So it has a lot of different effects within the body, all which are not very positive.
Yeah, they're quite serious, aren't they? It seems to go undiagnosed for, I guess, quite a period of time. Why is that?
Yeah, so the main reason why malnutrition is underdiagnosed comes down to a lack of awareness in the issue. Society will often congratulate people for weight loss, and it is seen as a positive thing. However, it definitely shouldn't always be celebrated. Unplanned weight loss that comes with malnutrition can happen gradually over time, and it's this loss of weight that can be one of the first signs that things may not be quite right. There is a real acceptance around losing weight, especially when someone becomes unwell. And for instance, when someone has cancer and they go to see their GP or specialist, they have very limited time to discuss many different things. Time is often spent on other priorities such as symptom management and future treatment, with little focus on the weight loss that the patient has experienced, unless it's at the forefront of their mind.
April, if we could just personalise this a little further, and I was fascinated to read about your grandpa, is that what you call him?
Yeah.
Grandpa Elf, who is in Geelong, who's probably a very happy Geelong supporter this morning. Now, he had some cancer treatment, which was the start of a whole cascade of things that went wrong. He said he had no desire to eat. How did he express that? Did he just say, I'm not hungry? And what underlying factors were you able to fix? And how did you do it?
Yeah, so my pop Alf had really extensive radiotherapy treatment to skin cancer on his face and also the side of his neck, which along with usual fatigue and feelings of being unwell that people experience when they're having this type of treatment, he suffered from really extensive mouth ulcers that impacted his sense of taste, and also this has a great impact on your ability to produce saliva, which can, when you think about it, makes it really difficult to swallow as well.
Mm.
So he just lost all interest in food. My grandma, Val, she was preparing these delicious meals, trying to make everything really nutrient-dense for him, packing everything in. He just wasn't interested.
Mm.
So he had quite dramatic, unplanned weight loss quite quickly, which promoted me to fortify his diet.
Okay.
So we provided an all nutritional supplement, which was, in this case, the 4-6 compact protein. So he consumed that along with his usual diet to provide additional calories.
Okay.
So I understand, April, that you can actually be overweight and be malnourished. And I also understand that kinds of circumstances that lead to malnourishment are people living with cancer, people who do struggle with chewing and swallowing, dementia, even depression.
Mm-hmm.
But what sorts of signs should we be on the lookout for if we're worried about someone that we love or even in ourselves that indicate we might be suffering from malnutrition?
Definitely. So people who are overweight or in a larger body can definitely experience malnutrition. However, it's this unplanned weight loss that we're really concerned about, because it's not only a loss of fat that we lose when we are losing weight unintentionally, but it's a loss of muscle as well. Not only the unplanned weight loss, but we're also looking for a loss of appetite with a lack of interest in food and drinks. We're looking for an inability to focus and concentrate, so it really affects that mental ability, as well as feeling tired all the time, even when sedentary, generally feeling weaker than usual and getting sick often and taking much longer to recover.
And April, what you've described is a whole raft of things that often can be just attributed to a person getting old, but in fact the simple solution is proper nutrition.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that's definitely what comes down to it, being underdiagnosed and underrecognised.
And what is the number one thing we could do to help someone who is experiencing malnutrition?
So it's important to monitor your weight and to note any unplanned weight loss that happens quite rapidly as well. We really want to be taking note of any changes in appetite and food intake that last more than a couple of days. And if you're concerned, your healthcare professional is really the first person that you should be contacting.
Sure.
Well, thank you so much. Oh, sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, equally, if you're concerned about someone else, a family or friend, make sure you ask them as well. Are they okay? Because
yes.
it's often that they don't pick up on their own weight.
There it is again. Are you okay?
Well, yes, and I think that's true. You might not notice it in yourself, but you can observe it in someone else.
Sure. Yeah,
it's absolutely really important. Thank you so much, April. You have a great day.
Thanks, April.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, of course, we welcome your calls, 131 873, if you'd like some assistance for your health. We are talking nutrition this morning and foods that may or may not be helping you with your own lifestyle and your own health. Margaret from North Blackburn, good morning.
Morning, Margaret.
Good morning. Look, thank you so much for taking the call. This is really very, very interesting for me because I suffer with arthritis in my hands, which are really quite, getting awful, to be quite honest with you. But my dietary is not really good. I'm on my own and I'm in my 80s and I sort of find that I eat well, I eat properly, but I often wonder whether there's things I should eat and I shouldn't eat sort of thing, particularly with my joints because I get inflamed. And I did speak to actually a few months back now about turmeric. And I wasn't sure which tablets to buy at the chemist warehouse, but I did get some turmeric, which I have been taking the turmeric tablets, and I do take fish oil. But it's mainly what I'm eating. I eat most anything, really.
Yes.
I probably drink too much coffee, which I don't know whether that's good for my joints.
Oh, that's okay. Well, a couple of things, Margaret. There definitely is a role in pro-inflammatory and anti-inflammatory foods. And Sal will give us a couple of ideas on how you can listen to your body. So if you wake up one morning and your joints are stiffer than normal, you can probably track it down to what you've eaten either for dinner the night before or the day.
Mm.
And that's not difficult to do. So Sal, anti-inflammatory foods, where do we go?
You really want to avoid sugars, you want to avoid processed meats and alcohol. They're kind of the big triggers. In terms of the best things to eat to really try and reduce the inflammation, any kind of plant-based foods, broccoli and kale are amazing. Fruits, blueberries are amazing. Nuts, seeds, legumes, salmon is really good. And also any fermented stuff, sauerkraut or, you know, kimchi. This is so true with inflammation. You want to make sure you're getting a little bit of each of those things to look after your body in its entirety.
Sure.
All the best with that, Margaret. In a moment, back by popular demand, Gerald, what to do with the eye irritations that so many of us are experiencing right now? That's next on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Too much screen time? Think dry eyes. Changing weather conditions? Think dry eyes. Heating and cooling? Think dry eyes. If you have dry eyes, think Systane. Systane Complete relieves all types of dry eyes up to 8 hours, including aqueous deficient, evaporative and mixed dry eye. And it's $16.49 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label, follow directions for use. If symptoms persist, talk to your health professional. References available on request. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. I'm Jo Stanley. With me is Gerald Quigley and Sally Obermeter, and we're here thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Give us a call, 131-873, with any questions you might have for your health. We've been speaking good nutrition for your particular health concerns, and also perhaps you have eye issues, because we know that it's a concern that many of us have, particularly dry eye, we're hearing is very common. So to tell us more about it, we're joined by optometrist Megan Zane. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
What is dry eye?
So dry eye is a condition that affects the tear film on the front of our eyes. It can range in severity and it can be related to other health conditions as well.
Okay, so what are the symptoms? How would you know if you had it?
There are lots of different symptoms. They include sore, gritty, red, tired, watery eyes, irritated eyes, and sometimes even an inconsistent sort of blurry vision.
Megan, you and I go arm in arm into the local pharmacy and we stand in front of the eye section and there are 100 different varieties. I have a double barrel question. What is the difference between a single use eye drop and a bottle of eye drops? Why the difference? And number two, why are some thicker than others?
Both really good questions. So I'll answer the first one first.
Please.
Single use eye drops generally just don't contain preservatives.
Okay.
Whereas the reusable bottles do.
And so what's the benefit of a preservative? What is it?
Yeah, so they're put in the drop to basically stop the drop becoming contaminated so they can use the same bottle again. So they're generally a bit more cost effective than a single-use drop.
But what happens if you're allergic to the preservative? What happens then?
That's exactly when you'll need to go for a preservative-free drop. Or also if you're using the drop quite often, so we generally say as a rule of thumb, if you're using the drop more than four times a day, you'd probably want to avoid the preservatives, even though they're really safe, and go for a preservative-free drop.
Okay.
So talk us through how is the best way to use eye drops, because I have a daughter who has, like, she just has a pathological fear of eye drops, which I think is common in children. But even myself, I find it very, it's kind of confronting, isn't it, putting in an eye drop?
It is.
Absolutely. So not a lot of people realise that we're not necessarily trying to get the drop to, you know, land right onto the coloured part of the eye, because that's the really sensitive part of the eye. So we are going to jump or flinch. What I like to tell people to do is you pull down your lower lid, and this makes a little pocket between your eyelid and the eyeball. Then if you tilt your head back a little bit, you can aim to put the drop into that little pocket, because it's a lot less sensitive and it's a lot easier to handle that way. You don't see it coming straight at you.
Oh, this is a
good tip, isn't it?
I've never heard that before, and it sounds so practical.
Can I just go back to my second question, which you didn't give us? Why are some drops thicker than others, Megan?
So the drops are all different because they're made to match different types and different severities of dry eye, because there are different types of dry eye. So the thicker ones are generally for a dry eye that's a little bit more severe.
Okay, and so your advice, if we have dry eyes, is to find the right drop for you.
Exactly right. So you need to be using the right drop for your type of dry eye to help relieve your symptoms properly.
All righty. Thank you so much, Megan. You have a great Sunday.
Thanks, you too.
Well, we do ask you to give us a call, 131-873. And Jean in blepharitis is called.
Hi, Jean.
Yeah, hi.
You've got some blepharitis, have you?
Yes, I've been diagnosed recently. It's only mild, but I'd like to get rid of it if possible.
A few things you can do, Jean.
What is blepharitis?
Blepharitis is inflammation of the
it's
eyelids.
It's not a suburb, I realise.
No, no.
It's not where she lives.
No. We're a little confused there, Jean, but we're back on track. Look, and it's a matter of making sure that your eyelids are healthy. And you can actually buy a mask, Jean, that you can put on. It makes you look a little bit like Zorro. But you can watch TV while this moist, warmed mask that you pop in the microwave to warm up makes sure that the little glands in your eyelids function correctly. And your pharmacy has got that. It's just called a moist eye mask. And it's a great way of making sure that you're reducing the risk of blepharitis. And it's also probably worth, as Megan has mentioned, using an eye drop, especially at night time. Use one of the thicker gel eye drops. So as you're getting rapid eye movement across the night, with your eyes are flickering all the time, they're not drying out and becoming irritated. Is that all right?
Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
All the best.
Thanks,
with Jean. That, Jean. And we will have more of your calls in just a moment. As always, so many people calling, particularly about eye health. And also, Gerald, you're going to be taking us through gut health, which...
The little journey.
You know, I love talking about gut health. That's next on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness. We're reaching you in Brisbane, Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide and Perth. And of course, we'd love you to give us a call, 131 873, with any of your questions. Now, Gerald, I think you would agree that gut health is a bit of a hot topic when it comes to well-being.
Of course.
Love talking about it. It's for good reason, though, isn't it?
In our pharmacy days, our biggest section was called Bums and Tums. because it was where people just gravitated to so commonly. And when you look at some of the things like bloated tummies, or heartburn, or flatulence, abdominal pain, constipation, diarrhea, nausea, they're all digestive-related. 50% of Australians, Joe, suffer from some sort of unpleasant gut health symptom. And looking at your microbiome, the 3 kilogram that the three of us carry around every day, keeping them happy minimises the risk of those things developing. So fundamentally important to keep that 3 kilogram happy.
Sal, it was an absolute revelation to me when I read the link between microbiome and our mental health and our moods. And so, in fact, our decisions can be dictated by the microbiome in our gut.
I think people think of gut health and they think exactly what Gerald said. It's basically about going to the toilet. But actually, I think people think it basically relates kind of to the body down, but actually does relate to the body up. And I think it's one of these things where we're starting to understand actually just how critical good gut health is and how important it is to look after it. And it's not something that you just want to look after when you're in pain, when you can't go to the bathroom. It's not like that's the only time you want to address it. It's as important as, honestly, drinking water. It's one of those things you just have to do every day.
And what I find really liberating is that we've realised, or certainly I have realised, that we don't need to feel that way. We don't need to feel those symptoms of being bloated and heartburn and abdominal pain and all of the things that come with that. There are things you can do.
Yes, you could treat. You can use the Band-Aid remedy to treat the problem, but actually the underlying issue is often far easier to address. And one of the ways of doing it is making sure your microbiome is happy.
Absolutely. So while we're on the subject of gut health, on House of Wellness TV today, Channel 7 at midday, there's a very interesting story that I absolutely love about the Melbourne inventors who have created what they're calling Inside Out. It's a camera in a teeny tiny, like a capsule, so a teeny tiny camera in a capsule about the size of a vitamin that you swallow, and it actually will show you your insides.
Oh, wow. I don't think I'd really like to watch that.
No, it's not,
I'd love to see
it's
that.
It's not peak time viewing.
Well, it's with a view to people understanding better what the foods we eat do to our insides. So it's an education tool. Wow. It's a fantastic idea. Oh. Also on the TV show today, House of Wellness, there is a really fantastic interview with a podiatrist that tells us the do's and don'ts of foot care, which I think, again, it's another part of our body that we might overlook, but it's super important to our health. So check that out. Well, it does feel like today's show is about the foods we eat and also our eyes. Welcome, Cheryl. Good morning.
Hello,
Good
Cheryl.
Good morning, love. Good morning. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help, Cheryl?
Yeah, well, I went into hospital in December last year and I had a camera put down and they found I've got a webbing in my esophagus because mm-hmm. I'm having trouble swallowing, mm-hmm. even though I've lost my teeth now. I'm 62. Mm-hmm. I haven't got false teeth yet because I suffer from mouth ulcers a lot. And also, I asked them, how did I get this webbing? And they reckon I got it from smoking over mm-hmm. the years.
Yes.
And I haven't gone into hospital yet, you know, with the virus and everything, but mm-hmm. I have to, like, get it done.
Mm-hmm. And how can we
and
help, Cheryl?
Sometimes when I bring, I get a lot of phlegm. And okay. when I bring that up, it yes. starts to get blood in it sometimes. So yeah. I didn't know whether that's from the webbing or just normal.
Yeah, it could be that you need to discuss that. Blood any time is you know, something mm-hmm. to check. Cheryl, so have a chat to your doctor about that. Make a note of when it happens. Write it down so that when you go there next, you can actually check that. So that's just a matter of being aware of your body, listening, watching, making note of what's happening, and then away you go. You get things back under control.
Rosa, you have a question about gut health. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, both of you. Good morning, Gerald. Yes, I have spoken to you a while back. I've got IBS. It's been diagnosed.
Yes.
You were talking about the extra weight. I walk probably about 100,000 steps a week.
Good.
So I've lost 6 kilos. So I've got two lots of threes missing, which is good, and I'm feeling a lot better for it. But my IBS, it's, again, like we were saying before, there's no rhyme or reason. It's only the next day, and you think, what have I eaten? And I watch what I eat. But and I cook everything. We don't have takeaways. But I've always taken IBS, ethical nutrients one,
yes.
The one that I keep in the fridge.
Okay.
But I got a sample from my GP, which is called Energast, Energast.
Yes.
But I can't seem to be able to find it, and I haven't been able to speak to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just wondering, have you heard of it? Because this seems to be even better than anything I've ever taken before.
I have heard of it, Rosa. It's a copy of another product that's been around for quite a while that is freely available. So if you take that product into your pharmacy and ask them for the option that sounds almost the same, you'll find they'll give you a bottle, same thing, probably 20 drops. Is that what you're using in your Energast? You put 20 drops in some water and have that whenever you've got some indigestion or some IBS symptoms that are troublesome. But fibre is important, and stress plays a really important role. As Sal said before, that gut-brain pathway goes full belt with IBS, and stress you've got to control in that.
And also, I would say, I've been exploring a low FODMAP diet. Yes. I don't
just
know if you know
say,
much
yes.
about that, Sal, but that has totally changed my life.
Yeah, and it's simple things that, like, for example, garlic and onion are really, they're great for you, but if you are the kind of person who gets IBS, then they're two very simple things that when you take them out,
sure.
this is part of a FODMAP diet, they can make an enormous difference. Mm. So even though they're healthy, it's not like this is sort of something unhealthy, but
no.
still, they don't actually, if you've got IBS, then that's something that you
and
can
And sometimes
look at.
Too high fruit, sugar.
Fructose, apples, I've taken
yes.
out of my diet, cauliflower, some of the strangest foods that you love that you realise.
Spicy food, yes. chilli, for example, is a great one to take out.
I would recommend the book by Sue Shepherd, who has really done some incredible work in this low FODMAP area. Great guide as to how to really take high FODMAP foods out of your diet.
So not taking all food, are you? It's just particular troublesome foods. So, Rosa,
yes.
there you go. The whole range of options for
I
you.
Have found that really, really helpful. We'll have more of your calls next on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good health begins in the gut. That's why Caruso's probiotics range offers 5 different products to support a healthy microbiome specific for different stages of life. Each probiotic supports immune system health and maintains healthy digestion, and they all contain prebiotic fibre as well. Caruso's once daily probiotic supports digestive and intestinal Optimal Health, relieves abdominal pain and is just $31.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label, follow the directions for use. If symptoms persist, worsen or change unexpectedly, talk to your health professional. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Welcome back to the House of Wellness, your 1 hour, one stop shop for all things health and wellness. It is time for A to Z of Vitamins. And Gerald, as we continue our conversation about nutrition and gut health, it seems appropriate to also speak about what we can take if we're needing a soothing of the bowel or relief from constipation.
It's something that people become fixated on, Joe. It's a very common when they can't go. Mm. You know, we talk all around the topic, but essentially it's where you're putting things in at one end and they're not coming out correctly at the other. So I want to take you into the world of herbal medicine, Joe, and Sal, with Cascara Sagrada, which has been around for a long, long, long time.
Sounds good.
And this is, I looked into my herbal book, and it's defined as a stimulating laxative with a gentle action.
Mm.
And then we move on to its partner, which is aloe. And aloe is for constipation where there's a loss of muscle tone. So often I hear people say, oh, I've got a lazy bowel. My doctor says my bowel's lazy. Here's a gentle option that will just help restore a bit of muscle tone between those two things. You can get them together. You can get Cascara Sagrada linked with a probiotic. There are some interesting combinations to look after your tum.
And is the idea to take it every day?
No, we're correcting. The principle of herbal medicine is you restore normal function. So once things become normal, you put them aside, and then if it comes back, and look, constipation can occur when you're stressed. It can occur for all sorts of reasons. Here's a way of correcting it.
Wonderful. The A to Z of Vitamins is brought to you by Go Healthy, New Zealand's number one premium supplement brand, now available in Australia. We love hearing from you on 131873. Peter has given us a call. Hi, Peter.
Hello, Peter. Good morning.
Good morning, panel. I've just been hearing a lot about Ubiquinol.
Ubiquinol, and, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I started using it because I heard a lot about it on this show.
Yes.
And I was feeling a bit lethargic and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's helped. But the question I wanted to ask was, is 300 mil too much, do you think? Or
no, no, it's not, Peter. We're talking here about Ubiquinol, which is a nutrient to generate energy at cellular level. And look, again, you listen to your body, Peter. 300 milligram for a bloke who's normally energetic is fine. Some people find they can get energy from less doses, but is it too much? No, it's not. You go for your life.
Good luck with that, Peter. Next we have Anne. Good morning.
Hello, Anne.
Good morning, everyone. Hey. It's been about 6 months now that I've had a little bit of stress going on, but suffering from severe itchiness under the feet, particularly at night.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to see my doctor who said, you know, initially it could be eczema. I've had a whole range of cortisone-based creams. Nothing seems to be working, and it is. I do moisturise, but yes, it's particularly bad at night. Even around now, starting around the groin area, itchiness at night. I just don't know what to do.
Lots of reasons why this can happen, Anne. And look, it can be something simple like standing in the shower using a cleanser, and your feet are being soaked in that. There's no diabetes involved, Anne, is there?
No.
Okay. Look, I think you can do, obviously, moisturising is very important. And you can, from your feet perspective, use urea, U-R-E-A. Now, there's a number of brands where there's a 10% urea cream, which actually reinforces the skin and brings the layers back into some sort of balance. Because probably the moisturiser you're using should be doing it, but it's not. From your groin perspective, there are a couple of products around which are anti-itch cleansing gels to use in the shower, Anne. There's pine tar sol we've grown up with for the last 40-odd years. If you put that on before you get in the shower, rinse it off just before you get out of the shower, and then you can use a powder to keep that area dry and cool. And the name of that is called 3B.
All right, and all the best with that, Anne. There's nothing worse than being itchy when you're trying to sleep. Well, Thank you so much to all of our callers this morning. If you weren't able to get through and you have more questions for Gerald, you can head to houseofwellness.com.au. There is an Ask tab, and I know, Gerald, you're very committed to answering all of the emails.
I certainly am, and that comes directly to me. It's not broadcast everywhere. It comes directly to me.
We'll be back with more House of Wellness after this.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia, thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
It's been lovely to spend this hour with you on the House of Wellness, Gerald Sally. A delight as always.
Always fun.
Can I mention the House of Wellness podcast, Best of You in the House of Wellness, with myself and mindfulness coach Emma Murray.
Where do we go for that?
You go to podcastoneaustralian.com.au. And really, if you are interested in mindfulness, it demystifies it. It gives you some tips and strategies to really embrace mindfulness and do some exercises that really assist you to embrace this moment.
It's fantastic.
That's
people.
Great.
Yes.
There's so much going on for us all the time. It is hard to be in the present, so I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really lovely. Sal, it's been lovely to spend this hour with
Thank you.
Thank
you, Sal.
Thanks, and guys.
A show in which I discovered that birthritis is an eye condition, not a suburb.
Yes. We learn things here. This is where you come to learn things.
I love it. Absolutely is true. Gerald, is always delightful to see you, and I hope you get your asparagus wrapped in bread today.
Oh, look, that would be Geelong winning and asparagus wraps. That would you just.
Thank you so much for joining us. We wish you a very safe and well week. As always, we're here. Thanks to our friends at Chemist Warehouse. Go to houseofwellness.com.au for more ways to get well, stay well, live well, and look fabulous. We will see you next week. I get a good feeling, yeah.